Now, speaking of the all the lawlessness in America, outside his favourite Army, Horowitz, as you will know, spends a lot of his time going into the worst of these places to find out what is actually going on. He's been particularly strong in the last couple of weeks. A couple of his YouTube clips have highlighted the anti-Semitism that is taking place underneath these riots. Army Horowitz joins us now. How are you, mate?
Oh, it's so nice to be back. It's been a while. Love to see you guys.
Good to see you, Army. We're thrilled to have you
here.
And
by the way, the word is feral. The word is feral.
Exactly. I don't know what we're going to do about James. I don't know. It's just one of his quirks. Anyway, but we love him for it. Army, tell us where you are, what you've been doing, and what you've uncovered.
Wow. I've kind of lost track, actually. So I'm back in New York, but, man, I have been everywhere. Have riot, will travel. That's been my mantra for the last few months. I mean, Minneapolis, Seattle, Portland, New York, just came back from Kenosha. Look, what I found was very, very disturbing. Like, it is something otherworldly as a citizen of a country to go to cities and see these great American cities ablaze, on fire. And that's pretty much what I saw, and it's heartbreaking to see it, to see these thugs, these criminals, burning down innocent peoples, a lot of times people of color, not that it matters who owns the business, but there's some irony to these people, who these Antifa white people and these black people coming together to burn down other black people and white people's businesses. I mean, it's a sad state of affairs. But I think, like you pointed out, I think it's now begun to really come back and bite the Democrats in the butt. They initially, the Democrats have not condemned this in a full-throated way, because they're so craven, in my opinion, so craven their politics, they thought it would work in their favor. But now we're seeing it actually have a bounce back, and now helping the president, to be honest.
Army, here's a grab from your latest piece on anti-Semitism.
Do you think the Jews created the coronavirus to target Muslims?
Yeah.
The Jews kind of built a weapon?
Yes, I believe that.
Yep.
Yeah, I think so, yeah.
Well, I wouldn't be surprised.
You're on the right track.
But I believe, yeah, it is.
I think that's true, man. They're trying to get... Those people are heartless, man.
The Jewish, they do all kind of stuff, but terrible stuff.
Depopulation, especially in the Muslim community.
So they want to destroy Muslims. That's what I think.
Definitely, Israel could have had a hand in it.
They're trying to torture all type of Muslims.
Army, this is horrific. Talk us through it.
Yeah, so there was a rumor that I was reading about that people in the Islamic world have been talking about, how really the Jews are the ones who unleashed the coronavirus on this country. Now, there's a long and horrific history of blaming Jews for diseases, the Black Plague, most notably. So we're seeing a resurgence of this in a certain way. So I went to Ilhan Omar's district, the noted anti-Semite who sits in the Congress in Minnesota, Minneapolis, and asked some people in the street there from the Somali community whether or not this is something they believe. And unfortunately, around 80% of the people that I spoke to believe this rumor that the Jews have unleashed the coronavirus onto this world. Some of the people who thought more deeply about this there said that China and the Jews and Russia are working together to do this thing. It was really disheartening. And frankly, by the way, of the other 20% I talked to, none of them denounced this rumor. They said, oh, I don't know, or I don't want to talk about it. It really was disheartening. It was disgusting. And it was really, it was tough. It was a tough video for me to produce and release, to be honest.
Rita.
And there have been synagogues attacked in these BLM protests as well, haven't they? And can you tell us about that? Yeah. And also tell us about the phenomenon of these Democrat cities that are refusing federal assistance to stop the violence. Just overnight, the Portland mayor again rejected help from Donald Trump to bring in federal authorities to rein in the violence. What's happening there?
Yeah, so I'll take the second one first. It is incredible to me that all these riots that we've seen, they have a number of things in common, but one of the most striking things they have in common is they're all happening in blue cities and blue states. Do black people live in Oklahoma? Yes, they do. They live in Texas? Yes, they do. But they're not rioting. but only in the, and by the way, most of the people who are riding, by the way, in these blue cities are white people, not black people.
Yeah.
But it is incredible to me that you see them only happening in blue states. And what you see is these mayors in Seattle, in Portland, in Minneapolis, these weak-willed mayors who at best are impotent to stop it, at worst kind of like to see this happen because they want to stir up these problems. They don't want federal assistance because they don't want this stuff to stop. They think it's helping them politically. I was in Portland. I was in Seattle. And when in Portland, it was incredible. There was not a single local PD, Portland PD, anywhere to be seen as the things were burning down, the riots were happening. It was truly incredible thing to watch. And in regards to the anti-Semitism, it is a very dark underbelly of the BLM movement that this anti-Semitism is starting to reveal itself. When I was in Kenosha, Washington, I saw these quote-unquote protesters go in and deface a synagogue with BLM and Free Palestine. Okay, right in front of me, they were doing it in real time. A synagogue was just burnt, Chabad in the University of Delaware was just burnt to the ground. I mean, we're seeing this over and over again. And by the way, you know what? BLM, which is supposed to believe in black lives, and by the way, they don't care about black lives when they're killed by other black people in Chicago, the streets of Chicago. Those black lives don't matter. Only the ones that are supposedly murdered by cops, which for the most part is not a thing that happens quite often. If you look into the backgrounds of a lot of things they're touting, Breonna Taylor, for instance, there was absolutely no racial motive whatsoever. She was killed by accident, but that's a whole different story. But BLM itself, the organization itself, of all the things they should concern themselves about that require black lives, somehow they want to talk about Israel and the Palestinians. Yeah. That's really what they're spilling their precious ink on when they're talking about black lives is Israel, the one Jewish state. There's a significant problem within the movement. I've seen it and recorded it with my own eyes.
James.
One of the things I've noticed, though, about the BLM protesters more and more as this has gone on the last 2 or 3 months is that they seem to be increasingly white faces. And I'm wondering what's happening there. Has this just become a sort of a new affectation for white people on the left? But I also want to ask about what is happening on the left more broadly. Is this representative of where the left is now going in the United States, that, you know, burning things down in the name of justice is okay, looting is okay in the name of justice, or is it just an opportunistic thing to get rid of Trump that they thought was going to be bad for Trump that has now gotten out of control and they now seem to be powerless to stop it? I'm just thinking of Biden making some feints around this because, and some of the talking points that come out from the Democratic media because their internal polls are now suggesting that this is really, really bad for them heading into November.
Yes, yes, and yes, and yes. All of the above are true, okay?
Was there a question in there, James?
No, look, it's a great point, and it's true. So you have, I differentiate between the left and liberals, right? I think they're kind of two distinct groups, but they oftentimes work in coalesce with each other, and we see this happening now. Liberals, for the most part, do not support the violence. But what's happened is they've excused it, right? So they kind of have, in a sense. They're trying to have it both ways. And they've excused it. What they've done by excusing it is unleash the left. And with the left, with these Antifa people who are doing, the people who are out there rioting, and by the way, I've probably spoken to 1,000 protesters. And I always ask them, among the many questions I ask them one of the same question every single time. Is there justification for the violence? And in almost every instance, they say yes. The protesters are giving the room to breathe to the rioters. When I was in Portland and saw the rioters trying to burn down the building, the protesters were cheering them on. They may not have burned it down, they were cheering them on. So they have given license to the hard left who what do they ultimately want? The destruction of the United States, the destruction of the capitalist system. And they want to rise out of the ashes their warped Marxist belief. That's truly what they want. And the liberals, the left of center, or even a little more left of that, either they don't understand that or don't want to understand that or do understand it and look using them as useful idiots. So there's a real coalescing between the two. And frankly, like you said, it is now coming to bite them in the butt.
So, Army, that's the $64,000 question, is whether this is going to help or hinder Trump. I don't know if you're going to join my it's going to be a Trump slide, landslide bandwagon or not, but I'm firmly of the opinion it's going to help him. But arguably, there are plenty of people saying, well, this has happened under Donald Trump's watch, therefore he's to blame. What's your reading on the ground?
So that was initially what the way the numbers were going. The statistics were showing that they were blaming the president because it was happening under his watch, like you said. But now that it's continued and what their core beliefs have now been revealed, that it's now moving away from Biden and toward Donald Trump. The BLM movement, for the first time, is under 50% support. People realize what is going on. They realize that this is really the Democrats who are giving these guys life and supporting them, at least in words, and that the president and the Republicans are the ones, the front lines, fighting this. So it was initially helping Biden, absolutely, but all the statistics show now that it's now moving toward Trump. I don't know if I'm on the Trump's, you know, landslide bandwagon. If you believe that, go lay some money down in Vegas. You'd win a lot of money. But I think it's definitely helping him.
Fantastic. Well, Rita, very quickly.
Yeah, go for it. I'm really worried about the anti-police sentiment in these movements, and we're seeing police leave the force. What's going to be the future there? I've just seen all these attacks against police officers in New York. Who's going to want to join the police force when this is happening, when they can't defend themselves and there's people marching demanding they be defunded?
It's a great question, and I live in New York, so I'm on the front lines of what this stupid, ridiculous, defund the police movement, what it's heralding, because crime is through the roof in my city. Not just statistically, anecdotally, I see it outside. I walk outside, and I live in a nice area. I walk outside, and crime is happening in real time in front of me. You know, I used to have, when my girls were 13, 14 years old, they could walk by themselves at night to friends' houses. They're now 19 and 16. I don't let them out at night by themselves, even though they're older. It is terrible. And no, the good people will not want to be policemen, and they don't. I ask policemen all the time, and they tell me I am quitting the police force, even though I'm 2, 3, 4 years away from all my retirement benefits, because they are looked upon by them as the bad people. And by the way, don't think that black people don't understand this. They understand that crime is an aggressive tax. What I mean by that is the people most affected by crime are people who live in poor neighborhoods.
Absolutely.
And the people who live in poor neighborhoods in the United States understand the role the police play and appreciate that and appreciate what they're doing for their community. I've spent time there. I'm asking them. They get it. Don't believe that most black people or poor people who believe that they want to defund the police. It's absolutely not true. It's not true at all.
Army Horowitz. Army Horowitz, always great to chat to you. We could chat all day. I urge people to go to your YouTube channel and check out all your amazing work. Sorry?
We're done. Already?
That's it. Sorry, Army.
Let's get started.
Thanks a lot, mate. Thanks so much.